Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, we celebrate something that happens every 1,000 years, being Scott's birthday. And to do that, we drink the La Petite Haute Lafite from Haute Lafite in Bordeaux. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by a birthday boy, Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Nothing wrong with a little bump and grind.
Scott singing.
Good to be here.
R. Kelly, his favorite artist.
No, actually, Steve's favorite song, I think. The superstar.
His favorite was, you used to call me on my cell phone.
Probably, yeah.
Late night when you need my love. I know in that hot, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's.
He
also likes Pumps and a Bump from MC Hammer, too. That's a weird song.
Actually, isn't that your and his song to dance at weddings?
No, I don't know. You don't normally hear that at weddings because that'd be a really lousy wedding because that's not a very good song.
But you that's like to dance at it nonetheless.
That's when MC Hammer is trying to be like tough and have like a manlier image or whatever. It just didn't work out for him.
Well, those parachute pants kind of.
Yeah, I know. No, he was. Yeah.
Deflated that image.
I don't think he had parachute pants on.
Question to the room. With the current atmosphere in. World affairs.
You're talking about balloons, aren't you?
I'm talking about balloons. Are parachutes pants back in? Particularly if they're made of Chinese materials? I'm just saying. Just something to talk about. Never mind.
Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver, folks. If you want to see him perform, go down to the subway. You'll see him there with a bottle in front of him. What his best act is, he pulls down his pants and pees himself in front of you. It's fantastic. I love it.
Usually I pee myself. My pants are up.
Yes, but then you pull them down. It's like peekaboo. And I'm like, wow. Did you know, folks, that Scott's birthday is on Valentine's Day?
Well, it is.
Wow. That's so great. You know what? My birthday is not on Valentine's Day.
But that doesn't mean you're not a lover, Wilfred.
Oh, I'm a lover. But it's not mutual, normally.
Well.
Now, I chase people around and say, I love you. But they can't hear me because I already knocked them out with chloroform.
Damn it.
I know. It's great. Then I can show them how great of a lover I am.
Not really.
I even disappoint him in that regard.
Well, you are rather disappointed.
It's very pathetic. They're like, you're not even a good criminal. You know, you're not even a good deviant. No, I'm not. I don't even satisfy myself. It's strange.
Damn it.
I know. Embarrassing.
Wilfred wrong, ladies and gentlemen.
I know. So, on tonight's show, to celebrate Scott's birthday, we normally pull out something from Bordeaux. And tonight we did that once again.
Once again.
Now, on the show in previous years, we drank from the Grand Cru designation in Pissac-Liogon in Bordeaux, Smith Haute Lafite. Well, we have some more Smith Haute Lafite in the wine vault, but we didn't pull that out. We pulled out their second label, the Le Petit Haute Lafite.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by Smith Haute Lafite, of course, it says at the bottom. Often, big-time wineries in Bordeaux will have a second label. It's not unusual. All of them do. Petrus has one. Le Fleur de Petrus. Aubryon has them. They all have some second label. Sometimes finding that is almost more exclusive and wilder than finding the big dogs.
It's more difficult.
Yeah, they are more difficult. Not all of them are imported anyway. And so when something might cost $150, you might be able to buy their second label for $40 to $50, which is kind of fun. Sometimes they're better than lesser estates, but often they aren't, but they can be. This one is the 2014 vintage, so it has some age on it. It should be interesting. Now, in the Smith Holt Lafitte portfolio, they have three different lines. They have this, well, not lines, wines. They have, well, they have a Blanc and a Rouge, so red and a white. But they have Smith Holt Lafitte, obviously the Grand Cru. Then they have the Le Petit Holt Lafitte. And then they have a new one. Let me pull that up because I just switched out of there. Les Hauts de Smith.
Oh.
So just kind of, and it actually looks more like the Smith Holt Lafitte label than this does, but that's okay.
Well,
you know.
Trying to trick you.
Smith Holt Lafitte is one of my favorite wineries in Bordeaux. I really enjoy it. I'm not, well, I enjoy Bonnet-Canet, partly because I enjoy Pouillac and Pissot-Liogon is one of these. It's great. It is left bank. It's predominantly cab, normally more cab than Merlot, but it isn't necessarily considered on the same level as Pouillac, Margaux.
It's a little smaller, is that correct?
No, it's actually a little bit bigger.
Is that right?
But, you know, it doesn't... I don't believe... Look this up. I don't think it necessarily was in the first 1855 classification. I don't believe it was.
Oh.
I don't think so. Because that was, you know, Pouillac, Margaux, Saint-Julien, Saint-Estephi. But this is more, you know, I don't... Double check me on that, though. It might be. I might be wrong. Part of Graves, I do believe, but not having anything in front of me to verify these things. I'm going off my memory and my extensive wine knowledge.
Well, usually you know. Pretty good.
I know.
This is the original. All the red wines that made it to list came from the Medoc region, except for one, Chateau Haut-Brion from Graves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There is one from this area that the Haut-Brion is the best
red,
of the best.
The red wines of the Garonne.
Mm-hmm.
Chateau Lafitte. Now Chateau Lafitte, Rothschild. Well,
that's the first. Yeah, we're talking first crew.
Chateau Latour, Chateau Margaux, Haut-Brion, Mouton, second gross, Rouzon Seigle, Rouzon Gassy, Louvie, which is Chateau Louvie, Lacassi, Pouffer, Barton. Vivant de France.
Oh, yes, I have that one.
Croix de Rose, Lascombe, Brane, Pichon Longview.
Have that.
Ducru Beau Caillou.
Yep, that's a good one.
Côte d'Etournel, Montrose, Third Gros.
Montrose, yeah.
Kerouan, Chateau de Son, Lagrange, Lagoya, Guicourt, Saint-Exupéry, Boyd, Palmer, La Lagune. That's quite
Marquise de Alsemay is a third growth, or a third classification.
Dubillon, Cayon, Ferrière. I'm not going to read them all.
No, there's a lot.
Well, I'm just looking through the list. You were correct. It was not part of the original 1855 classification, which goes back to Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yeah. Now, when you go through all the classifications first through the fifth, you got to remember, even though something might be a second growth or a second classification, some of those have fallen into disrepair. All right, because they don't refresh them necessarily. It takes quite a bit. Saint-Emilion, they do refresh that list quite frequently. So you might have people being relegated in a general term. And but Marquise de Alsemay was one that I really like, and I think it's a third classification. It had fallen into disrepair, and it's Margaux, for instance. And it was coming in about $54 a bottle, which is wildly cheap for a third growth classification. Well, they had an investment in it, and they brought it back up. And so now it's starting to command more money. It's still under $100. But you're going to see some things that there might be fifth growths. Or fifth, why do I keep saying growths? Fifth classifications.
Yeah.
That are superior in quality to the second, or even first. Not normally first. So the first, though, they're commanding thousands of dollars. So.
Well, I mean, think about it from a purist standpoint. You have a vine that's grown into disrepair. You can recover it. It can be brought back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on. And sometimes what's the best thing for a vine is to be brought back to life or replanted. It can produce something that wouldn't be possible if it was just continuously in life.
Absolutely. But these are second growths. Now, they can be done in a lot of different ways under a lot of different circumstances. In history, sometimes they were a second pressing. So you'd have the first pressing of the main crew. And then they would press it again, and that's what your second one would be.
Okay.
But less and less is that the case. Often these are possibly younger vines that they're introducing, or just lesser areas of the vineyard. Let's see. It just depends.
I would guess there's a certain amount where it's you're going through a first selection, and some just don't make the cut, right? You know, I'm going to say this grape doesn't look right to me.
It can be. It can be the odds and ends. But the higher quality these wines are getting, they're getting their own little profitability, their own little their own little status. So with this, though, it's 60-40 Cab Merlot, and it's 14 months on French oak. And so it's treated in a proper way, and it's treated anymore as a second one. Now, that base one, the whatever, the Smith's one, that is probably a lesser thing. But this one, I think they take some pride in. They definitely take some pride in this. So, well, anyway, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Le Petit Haute Lafite, I almost said Smith Haute Lafite, that would be false advertising.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I know. It does have some reviews. And I have to make sure I'm on the right year. I do believe I am. I am. And the first one would be from Robert Parker's Wine Advocate. And Robert, or Bobby, gave it 90 of his points. And he said, the 14 Le Petit Haute Lafite has an attractive blackberry cedar black olive scented bouquet that unfolds nicely in the glass. The palate is medium-bodied with fine tannin and well-balanced with quite a saline marine-influenced finish that lends to it this character. Enjoy this well-crafted Pinot Liégeois over the next 5 to 6 years. And I will... We have had Smith Haute Lafite. Now, we had a 98 Smith Haute Lafite, so it was an aging man of war, but it was beautiful. But it did. It was focused on minerality. It was focused... It was saline. It did have a bit of brine to it, even as a red wine. That's the way that wine was. Next, it was the Wine Spectator. Hello.
How are you?
It's Tim Atkins. Scott.
It's good to see you.
I know. I had to join the show because I understand it's your birthday today.
Tim, would you button your shirt up, please?
I know. Wait a second. I brought a cake along. I'm going to pop out of it.
Oh, Tim.
It's what I get paid
Do
mostly
you
for.
You have to.
I know. The places I go to and I have to pop out the cake. Oh, I wish they were bachelorette parties, but they're not. It's just, no.
It's a hard knock life for Tim. It's a hard knock life for Tim.
I was groped by an 85-year-old woman at the nursing home. She said, Sonny, I want to oil your chest. I let her.
Oh, that's pathetic.
It was. She gave me... She gave me a shiny nickel for my troubles.
Oh, is that what they're calling it now at the nursing home?
No, that was a hand job, too.
Tim.
She wasn't quite bad at that. Anyway.
You're a bad man.
Wait, okay.
Is that elder abuse or were you taken advantage of?
I was taken advantage of. I love it. Oh, Ethel. Anyway, the 90 from the Wine Spectator offers a ripe and sleek feet. What? Sleek feel. I'm
sleek
sorry.
Sleek feet?
Well, she had nice feet. Anyway, sleek feel with solid cassis, dark plum notes, lined with hints of bay and tobacco. Backed by a tug of earth. Yeah, tug. It's a tug of earth on the slightly smoky finish. Drink now through 2024. Hello, this is James Suckling. I'm, as Tim left, I stayed outside, hiding in the hallway.
Until that's good because
I saw him leave the building.
That way you're compliant with the orders from the court.
I just he terrifies me really. I you know, once again, why wasn't he wearing a shirt? It's I mean, I'm not complaining. Well, it's a question, Scott.
He was wearing a shirt. He just needed to button it up.
He does need to button it up. Yes, he does. It's quite pornographic.
Well,
I know. All you do, you take harmless pictures of a person when they don't ask you to, and
then there's a court order against you.
I think the judge was far too jumpy on that. I was railroaded.
Wilfred may have prepared the court in your advance. That gives you, you know, some distinct disadvantages.
Well, they said that judge was a hanging judge. And I said, well, lift up your robe there, Your Honor, and let me see. It didn't work out for me.
No, it didn't.
Then James was in front of him, so, you know.
And it didn't go well for James.
No, it didn't, no. Especially when I asked to be in the witness box. They said, why? So I can sit next to you, you hunk of man, you. I was held in contempt.
Well.
Because nobody liked me, I don't know. So.
Well, it turned out the judge wasn't a man, so that didn't go well for you either.
See, what? It wasn't a man?
No.
Whoa. I was an ugly woman then.
Well.
My God. I'm strangely more attracted to her now.
You're so judgy.
That wasn't very funny, but that's
actually very funny.
It wasn't. Now, cue the Benny Hill music. You can't mix my humor with Red Skeleton humor from 1964.
Skeleton?
This Red Skeleton? What the hell is his name?
Yeah.
Didn't he? Well, he was racist, wasn't he?
What is this, like a Marvel cartoon? The Red Skeleton?
Now, you know what that comedian is. You love him. Gallagher. You love Gallagher. He's dead, though, isn't he?
You gotta love a guy that smashes a watermelon.
Not if he doesn't say anything funny.
Well,
you know, my humor does not, well, it's not humor, but.
It never stopped you.
No. What, watermelons?
No, I'm not saying anything funny.
Oh, that was funny.
This is James Suck. I keep being interrupted. Anyway, I gave this 91 of my points, and I said, intense dried cranberry and herbal nose with some toasty oak precedes a rich but not heavy palate with plenty of tannic power and a long dry finish. Needs 2 or 3 years to soften.
You know, once again, James's review means almost nothing. It's compared to the previous two reviews, it's like it contains almost no content. A rich but dry. Come on. What?
Do you want me to respond?
Terrible.
Go fuck yourself. That's my response.
Well.
Yes, I would say it in Italian, but do you know I live in Italy?
Really? Where?
What? Oh, shit.
The Parker review mentioned black olive on the nose. Mr. Suckling, stick your nose in that glass of wine and you'll notice a black olive aroma.
In my defense, I don't have staffers write my reviews for me.
Oh, you use the GPT.
I have a bot.
Yeah.
Yes. I use Mad Libs. On the nose.
It's black olive on the nose. It's wonderful.
Well, yeah. It didn't surprise me. It looks very pretty. Using the Grand Bordeaux glasses by
Beautiful. Riedel. Beautiful Grand Bordeaux glasses.
But I smell fresh blackberry, too. Vibrant fresh blackberry. I mean, there is a black olive that lingers in the background, but
hey, Scott, did you see Rihanna on the Super Bowl last night?
That was a baby. Tell me that. What was that? A baby bump? That had to be a baby.
Well, she announced she's pregnant. Yes.
Yeah, it's a baby bump.
Well, she also wasn't dancing really. I assumed that she was pregnant.
Other than her dancing fingers.
What?
Oops.
I don't know what that means.
There was some finger action on body parts that some people might not have appreciated.
Oh, you're a prude, Scott. That's sexy. It was.
Was it?
Yeah, especially when my young children watched it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. This isn't Wilf. They're like, what is that?
It's just interesting, and it was fine. It was like, I'm like, okay, she's obviously pregnant.
She only had one bar of S&M. That was depressing. I wanted to hear my jam.
She put her fingers in one place.
Upper ass, yes.
And then she put them in another place.
Where was that? I wasn't looking that close.
That was in the Jai Jai area.
Oh, in the vagina. It's a vagina, Scott.
And then I...
Can you say the word vagina?
Jai Jai.
No, vagina. It starts with a V. It's vagina.
It depends.
No.
It can start with a G.
Well, you're going to say something derogatory, aren't you?
No, Jai Jai.
No, vagina.
So I was watching the game with a certain crowd of people, and I said, in reflection, it's interesting how offensive it was to be found that Jackson's little nipple popped up for just a split second there.
Yes, but she was naked.
Just a split second, and then this happened, and people are going to be more offended by this.
I'm not offended. I was fine with it.
Of course you're not offended.
Didn't bother me. If I was up there, I'd have stuck my whole fist up my ass right on the screen. Just people would love that. Maybe not.
I probably
wouldn't do that. I mean, I would write in my whole script, the whole choreography of me doing that.
Oh, you script these activities.
Well, no, you do. You write this. I'm just reading what you wrote for me to write. Read.
What I wrote for you to write.
I'm retarded. I don't even know what you say. I'm sorry I said that word. But Scott wrote that on the paper, too. He's a script writer here on the Wine Vault. Rob the Wine Guy has nothing to do with it.
Of course not. Plainly, it's unscripted. Back to the Blackberry.
You keep... And a slight balsamic edge to it, too. But that would not surprise me, seeing that it's 9 years old. But it smells a little bit more robust and slightly more decadent than a Smith Holt Lafitte does. An aged Smith Holt Lafitte.
Yeah, it's not... It's a little bigger of a nose than you'd expect out of this.
Maybe a little bit.
But I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. Something that's sat in the bottle this long and has a nose like this, you'd think that it's still alive and vibrant.
Yeah. Cheers.
What a beautiful looking Bordeaux in the glass.
Mm-hmm.
A little more dense than one might expect. But yes, cheers. Right on the palate, you get that minerality right up front. It's the first thing that I experience when in my palate.
That is an upper level mouthfeel times a 10,000. It doesn't go the whole length of the wine, because then it goes into the minerality. But that front palate plushness, it's like being on a velvet, airy pillow of just gorgeousness.
My second impression of the wine is just a wonderful balance of acidity throughout the whole thing.
Yes.
Beautiful acidity. Mm-hmm. That you don't always expect.
No.
From Bordeaux or from something that sat down for 9 years.
This wine evolves across the palate. It starts off one way, then it finishes a little more, well, Bordeaux-esque, French, in the fact it's somewhat woody. There's some acidity, some tannin. Slight mushroom portion there, too. Lots of loads of minerality in the terroir. It's just streaking everywhere.
Earthy.
Very earthy. If you're not into earthy reds, this would be troublesome for you. You would really get excited on that front palate, and then when the rest of the wine came, you would not be a pleased person. But you have to understand the dichotomy of some good wines, how they show one thing and then they bring up another. But
it's not perfectly traditionally Bordeaux. I would say it's got different things that are stronger components. The acidity is stronger than you'd expect from a Bordeaux. We haven't really talked about the fruit of this. It's a fruitier style of Bordeaux.
Well, no. It's
slightly.
I would say it's more, it has a little bit more plush mouthfeel. The fruit is similar to the way it was in the Smith Holt Lafitte, in the fact that you have unripe blackberry and some cassis. But those really give way to the tobacco and the earthiness on the mid palate. you know, second sip, it's a little more, it's more harmonious than the first, where you had this big plush. You're used to it. Now it stretches through. And now it reminds me of, it reminds me of Smithfield Lafitte in a junior sense. The Smithfield Lafitte was grander. It was lengthier. It was more expansive.
And I think the entire front palate was a little more subtle than this. And now, granted, this is Bordeaux style.
Smithfield Lafitte was more subtle.
This is not California expression of fruit. This is Bordeaux expression of fruit, but it's a little more than what you'd expect. So it's still on the subtle end, but it's a nice expression of fruit.
And there's muted plum notes as you get into the tobacco as well.
In the mid palate.
Yeah, right in the transition where I often find plum at. But yeah, the bay and tobacco is spot on the Spectator, and backed by a tug of earth on the slightly smoky finish. I don't get the smokiness, but it's tannic, and there's some acidity blend in there too. It's coming all from the, you know, honestly, the finish reminds me of, and I don't remember if this is volcanic soils or not, but you've never had Diamond Creek, I think. Yeah. The Volcanic Hill Cabernet is similar in the acidity. Now, the Volcanic Creek, or Diamond Creek, is like $300 or $400, but let me just double check. I think that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, Diamond Creek. Red Rock Terrace. The Diamond Creek Volcanic Hill. It has acidity on the finish that reminds me a little bit of this. And last time I had it, it's been a while, but it was an older vintage. But it kind of, this reminds me a little bit of that. And that goes for current vintage, would be in the 2000s. That goes for about 300 bones, I do believe. Yeah, 250.
Still.
If I see it for 250 release this year, I'm behind a bottle. But
it's all right.
Oh, yeah. I like that stuff.
But for me, what's unique about the acidity in this, it's from the front palate all the way to the end through the finish. It's just a streak of acidity all the way through, and I like that.
Yeah. No, I like it too. It's one of those wines that what I would say is it kind of, you have to have your membership card to, you know, more difficult wines in order to really get it. But when you have, and you have graduated from different things, I mean, the tobacco bay slight tar aspect is reminiscent of some Syrahs you might drink,
yeah,
for instance.
Yeah. I don't think you would guess that this is strictly Cab Merlot blend. You know what I mean?
I would go straight Bordeaux, though. I would know that it's Bordeaux.
Yeah.
And then that's going to tell me that.
But you'd expect that it has a different varietal that's going to give you that tobacco
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you've had enough of Left Bank, this is the way some of them come across.
Yeah.
Now, do you often drink at this level? No. You either drink really high, or you're drinking Grand Vin or Cru Bourgeois. So you're never drinking this intermediate level where it's a little unique. At least you don't drink it every day. And so from a quality perspective, it's somewhere out there where it's more complex than your Grand Vins and your Cru Bourgeois, but it doesn't taste like it's a Grand Cru also either. So it's somewhere in that range where the quality level and just kind of the intensity level is so unique to this type of wine that you don't drink it that often.
You know, it'd be a good life.
What?
If this was your wine you drank every day. Now, would I pick this one as my only thing to drink the rest of my life? No, probably not. Mm-hmm. But this would be a good life.
If you wanted somebody to demonstrate what chalky tannins taste like, or just tannins, this wine, I mean, I don't know how much more time it can do, but damn it if those tannins aren't strong.
And that's...
There's no fruit to balance it out, but then again, there wasn't that much fruit in the Smithfield Lafitte to begin with. They don't do much fruit. It's a mineral-driven linear wine.
Yes. It's not that there's not enough fruit there for this wine. That's not the style of the wine.
No, the wine is this style.
But I don't know. The tannins that are here, I don't think they'd go away in a couple, at least a couple more years, this would have.
My question is, what are they revealing to?
If you let it go.
Yeah, that's what I don't know.
It's not spent.
No, no.
If this was longer, it would not be spent.
No. It's not spent at all. It's just, what does more aging reveal? I don't know that. Because, well, I do know that. We do know that because we drank a 98 Smithfield Lafitte a couple years ago.
You can't compare that to this.
Well, you can. Well,
I mean, yes, you can, but not
really.
Well,
it's not
going to
be as good as that, but the idea is the fruit was, the idea of that fruit was the same as this.
Yeah, the idea that, yeah. When we drank that 98 Smithfield Lafitte, actually, that's a really good descriptor. It was the idea of fruit.
Yeah, it's the idea. It's the way they approach it.
It wasn't really fruit there in the traditional sense. It was just an idea of fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not the focus. I mean, obviously, you're going to have something that is fruit, but it isn't what we would say in America is fruit, if you get on our drift. So that it's something a little bit different. To even call it tart blackberry isn't fair, even though that is probably the most apt description. That's not where the complexity in the wine lies. It's in the rest of the wine is where the wine's complexity and really the meat of the wine lies. So,
really wonderful expression of Bordeaux in a second label.
Yes, very much so. Also, though, it's a wonderful expression of the Grand Cru version of the wine in a second label. It's a scaled down version of that. It doesn't try to do anything besides be a tribute to its main. It's like, well, it's not like Clarendel. Clarendel tried to be, it was a tribute to Haut-Brion. Haut-Brion don't taste like that.
Well, and
that's like seventh label, fourth label, ninth label.
And
this is second.
It's a copycat. This is not a copycat. This is just a different cut.
Yeah. You drink this, though, you are getting some of the elements of what Smithfield Lafitte does. I guess if you were this massive fan that had access to everything, you know, and could buy tons of Smithfield Lafitte, but you wanted to age, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to buy tons of it. Or any of them. I don't care. You buy tons of Petrus, and then you're bougie, and your second wine you drink all the time is La Fleur de Petrus. Whatever. It doesn't matter. So the second label has elements of your big dog. But you just don't drink your big dog every time you drink this.
Yeah. You set your big dog down for 20. You set this down for 8 to 10.
Yeah. Then I don't know what this other one is, but...
Fun.
This other thing that they have, the Chateau Haute Lafitte. No, that's...
Haute Smith.
Yes. Les Hautes de Smith is what you would be drinking every day. I don't know what that costs, but... kind of cure. I've never seen that anywhere. I will buy it if I ever do see it, but it's 50-50 now. So, but it has the same oaking.
I wouldn't be surprised if not similar price range. Because why would they put anything out that's less than this, which is in the 30s?
I would think that it's probably closer to 20, but it's a legit top level Bordeaux producer. So, and you have that name there you're going on. So, I mean, you're not going on any kind of name with some of these other things that we drink. So why not this? Why wouldn't this cost more? I guess you're right. It probably does cost in the 20s.
Somewhere. I wouldn't charge it $20. I'd charge it $4 less than this.
You're getting a little overlap there, but it might be that good. I mean, I'd buy it if I saw it, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't care whether it was a significantly lower price or not.
And the Les Hautes de Smith is wines from the young vines of Chateau Smith Haute Lafitte. It says that right there. Let's see if it says that. I don't believe. Well, no. Lafitte Haute Lafitte is also from the young vines of Chateau Haute Lafitte.
Hmm.
But these are from the less of young wines. So possibly these possibly are from better parts of the vineyard, too. So think about that, though. The reason why you don't see it that often is because how many vines and how much wine does that actually produce?
Right.
So It limits it. It limits it.
It's like you said, they have to replenish and replace over time. This is a product of that, right?
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah, it's the ongoing evolution of that. But I do really enjoy what this wine does and what this wine presents. It's very, very nice. But then again, how many Bordeaux have we drank that we don't like? I mean, we like
very much. There was that one thing, and then there was that other thing.
Well, the, Monet Cadet, or no, what is that called? Cadet.
Monet Cadet.
No, it's, God. I never can pronounce that thing. Let me look it up here. You just talk. I'll look it up.
It reminds me of when...
Mouton Cadet.
Mouton Cadet, excuse me.
Yes, okay. Mouton Cadet. We don't like Mouton. It's actually $13.99. Mouton Cadet Rouge.
Bad. It reminds me of the hopeful wistfulness I had when there was the rumor that Ina Garten was going to replace Joffrey. And
with you?
I had my hopes up. And, you know, I was spurned. Didn't happen. But it's okay.
I'm sorry
I still can watch her on TV.
Sorry your sights were so low.
Well, you know.
What about Christina Turley when she married that man that was young and handsome? And you were not young and handsome. Or well, one of
first
those.
Of all.
You're not young or handsome.
He wasn't young or handsome.
He was a handsome man.
No.
Yeah.
No. She deserved much better.
Like what?
Well, yours truly. I'm just saying.
She already has a grandpa.
Easy.
She's got a lot more money than you, so she can't. Well, it's not like you'd be her sugar daddy.
She has more money than any of us. So. I mean, yeah.
She'd be like, What? How do I gain in this equation? I'm not quite sure I understand. I would laugh at him, but I'm trying to understand where his mind is.
Love?
It's definitely not
don't
that.
Don't hold me.
She's like, I can't.
Don't hold me.
I mean, it's just like
again.
I mean, no, it's what is love?
Bam, 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 bam.
I could imagine she was standing there, just kind of dumbstruck, like. He's serious, but why would he be serious? Should I be insulted or flattered? Pretty sure I'm scared. Does that line up with insulted or flattered? I don't know. I should act like I'm flattered, but I'm really insulted and scared. Should I just run away? What if he is fleet of foot? What if I can't run away? If I act like I'm not nervous, will that alarm him? What should I do? A lot of thoughts went through my mind.
That was really a good portrayal right there.
It was.
Every person you ever dated before you met your wife.
Could be.
Just saying.
Some of them were doing me a favor. I was just dressing.
Well. Just saying.
Rob's been out to sea too long. Okay.
The voices in Rob's head, they started earlier in life.
He's better not off. Just on the podcast. He should have just used my voice. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hey, ladies.
Nice to meet you. Would you like to come in my van? Literally.
Wasn't even a van.
I like how Scott sits there and thinks about what I just said, or what Wilford just said. What he just wrote for me to say as Wilford, what he wrote for himself to say as Wilford.
That's easy for you to say.
I know. And, yeah.
It wasn't even a van so much as you had a four-panel delivery vehicle.
That was a van.
Well,
you know. Look, Scott, you don't put the context in the jokes you write. I'm just trying to read what you wrote.
Would
say you lived in a van and panels. You lured women in there and they were going to have orgasms in the van. I'm like, oh, God. It's like reading a fucking outline for a 10-year-old's book report. God. I'm not saying that.
You're right to your audience.
I shine that shit up. So, you know, he gives me a box of dog shit. I'm going, I got to sign these turds. That's what I do. Shining turds all day long.
When Becky sends you out to the yard to chase after Bo's left behinds.
We don't worry about that. Boy's going to step in it, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, take that. Oh, I ordered that. Go figure. I forgot I did that.
What were you ordering?
Wine.
More swag from Porn.hub. What are you doing on
Porn.
There?
Porn.hub.
Yeah, what are you doing on there?
Don't act like it's Pornhub.com, Scott.
I don't know what website you go to.
I know what you do. You already wrote it down. That's why you probably put in Hornpub or something like that. You got some dog porno website. You freak out, and you didn't leave right away.
You mean
you're like, let me check this out. I can't believe what I'm watching.
You mean goat
website? I'm a little uncomfortable. I'm going to pull down my pants. That's how it starts, Scott. Then you end up in a psychiatrist's office, and he's prescribing you drugs. And then, you know what happens?
What happens then,
there's
Wilfred?
Some Christians that say, well, we can save you. We know that you have these impure thoughts, but with the power of Jesus, you won't have those thoughts anymore. Guess what?
Then you end up on a TV commercial?
No. Good God, why the hell? No. No.
I thought I saw you on the Super Bowl commercial, Wilfred.
What? No. Talking about Jesus.
I thought they were on the commercial, too.
Jesus is on the commercial?
Well, I don't think he was.
He's been dead a while.
He has been.
I know. So, I mean, you know. But I've been told that. I doubt it, though.
But he did rise up.
Did you get the joke, folks? That's biblical humor.
Not exactly.
Da, 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 da.
Okay. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Oh, thank God.
I know. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. So, on tonight's potpourri, Scott, I want to tell you about something.
You're off-air cursing at some person that's not in the room with us?
Well, you'll know why I'm cursing here shortly.
Okay.
Scott, I have another exciting wine dinner possibility for you.
Oh, my Lord.
Only this place could do this. Now, in the past, this place has done a wonderful wine dinner that Scott and I attended.
Oh, Lord.
But, and then another one where they did, it was the wines of Michael David, Freak Show Wines. They decided to do Freak Show as a wine dinner. And you had like three bottles of Freak Show you had to drink. And I think it was a virtual wine tasting, mind you. And one of the...
I would virtually not drink it.
I know. One of the
dishes...
You
know, you can do a lot worse than Michael David. They're not great, but they're usually palatable.
Suck a dick. That's not true.
Well...
They had peanuts. They had Old Bay peanuts as the opening. This is none other than a restaurant I used to love, and we don't anymore. Jay Gilbert's Wood Fire Grills, Steaks and Seafood. Depending on where you are in the country, there might be a Jay Gilbert's near you. There's also an Outback, so try that.
Well.
So soon, Scott, March, I think, 13th.
Okay.
March 13th, 6 p.m. It is an Orrin Swift Cellars Wine Dinner.
Yay!
Five-course menu. Orrin Swift, folks. Oh, only... You know what? We waited so long for that to happen. Where's Mayomi's dinner?
I've been waiting for a dinner with you. For Orrin Swift in my life.
Jesus Christ.
Been waiting.
Well, Scott, are you ready for the five courses?
Okay. I can't wait for the pairing of the wine.
Well, the first course.
I'm hoping Machete's one of them.
It is, actually, I think. Machete? No, Machete is not.
God damn it.
Machete is corked. Well, that wasn't pure.
Not the first time.
That wasn't pure Orrin Swift. He had partnered with somebody.
Oh, no, it's not corked. That was just bottled yesterday. It's just bad.
It's Machete.
Okay.
It's not Machete. Anyway, the first course. What do you think a good first course would be?
A seared scallop with a dollop of egg white.
No.
Finished with lemon chiffon.
No.
What's the first course, Rob?
Fresh sourdough. It's bread. Bread with butter.
They actually put that on the pairing.
Yes.
No, they did.
Fresh sourdough with house-made pastrami butter. Okay, there's pastrami in the butter.
But... Oh, it's pastrami butter? What yeah. even is that?
It just has bits of dry chip beef in it. It's chip beef butter and bread. They're pairing that. That is actually a fucking course. They're pairing that with mannequin chardonnay.
Or they've got like a 5-pound block of butter from the Walmart. They're treating it like pastrami.
It could be, but it's with bread. Bread is their first course. You get a bread basket, and you drink mannequin chardonnay with it.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And we thought we had a bad meal.
Mm. Second course. Oh, I'm sorry. That's just the welcome. I'm sorry.
Oh.
But it's called five courses. So that actually is a course.
So there's a welcome and then four more courses.
Yes.
That's one way of downselling that your fourth course is fucking bread.
It's really four courses, but you know, then they say
we're serving O'Charley's
rather
honey butter toasted rolls.
Where's my cheddar biscuits from Red Cheddars, Lobster? Cheddars, you cocksucker.
Yeah, no, Red Lobster. Right.
Well, them too. Jesus, first course
of those three, I gotta go with Cheddar's biscuit. Better than Red Lobster the O'Charley's.
You know, they make Red Lobster gluten-free Cheddar Bay biscuits. We've made them a couple times.
Okay.
It tastes like Cheddar Bay biscuits, but...
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Poached shrimp mousseline.
Okay.
With coconut milk broth, Fresno chilies, and Thai basil.
So it's going to be a... overinflated, probably a spoonful of that soup with this piece of shrimp on top of it.
Yes.
Didn't they do that bullshit to us at the Italian wine tasting?
Yes.
Where it sounded like you were going to get a bowl of soup and it was this spoon of soup.
Yes. What do you think they pair with that?
Another white.
No, it's 8 years in the desert Zinfandel blend. Mmm. Good pairing.
Yeah, or not.
Next, which is the second course, which is the third, A5 Japanese Wagyu, which I'm sure that's a lot. It's the size of a Lego brick. But anyway, with orange syrup, toasted brioche crumbs, lemon zest, and mint. And they're pairing that with Palermo Cabernet Sauvignon.
It doesn't have some weird orange swift name. It's just Palermo?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen that before. Have you seen that label?
You have, but you fell asleep when you looked at it. Yeah.
It didn't scare me like the machete.
No, machete. You mispronounced it again.
It's machete. Dude, it's machete. Everybody knows it. It's machete. A goddamn machete.
It's machete.
Yeah, of course it is.
Corn knife. We'll call it corn knife. That's what we call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Third course, which is the fourth course, duck two ways. Duck, duck. I would call it duck goose.
Duck two ways.
Smoked breast.
Okay.
White barbecue sauce and braised leg con au vin, sweet potato tartare. Paired with Papillon Bordeaux blend.
So they're doing the sweet potato in a tureen of duck fat.
Well, it's T-A-R-T-E with no...
Spell that again?
Tarte, or... T-A-R-T-E.
Tart. It's a tart.
Oh, okay. It's a sweet potato tart.
So where's the duck in that?
Well, there's a braised leg.
Yeah.
And then smoked breast.
Oh, okay. I missed the smoked leg part of it.
It's duck.
Goose.
duck, no goose.
I
duck, goose.
They're pairing that with...
a Papillon Bordeaux blend.
Okay.
Yeah, what are they also gonna put?
And then that's not actually bad.
Well, yeah, I mean a breast has to be so large.
No, I'm saying the Papillon blend.
I've never had it.
Yeah, it's okay.
Where's the unshackled wines? That's what I want to know. We will have the unshackled wines probably on the show this year.
I'll unshackle you, sir. Yeah.
Don't say that out loud. Anyway, then dessert, which is the fifth course, horchata bread pudding. With dark rum and cinnamon ice cream. That's paired with abstract red blend. I wonder what abstract red blend is like. Is it sweet?
How much do they get? So they're getting a buck and a quarter for this.
How much do you think? 100, 100
a buck and a quarter
per person?
Yeah.
No.
Less?
No.
More.
Yes.
It's more than a buck.
It's more than a buck and a quarter. They have A5 Wagyu in here, motherfucker.
Yeah, of course they do. You get, what, a 3-ounce portion?
I don't think you get a 3-ounce portion. We've been there before. We got a ribeye cutlet.
Oh, Jesus.
So try again.
140 of your American dollars?
No. Try again.
I can't go higher than that.
It's $160 a person for bread. Shrimp soup.
And bread pudding.
A duck two ways. Duck, duck. The duck, duck is... By the way, you know what isn't on the Jay Gilbert's menu regularly? Duck, duck. They don't have duck on their menu.
Well,
do you think people that don't normally make duck know how to make duck? I've been there. They don't have to know how to make duck. They don't. No. You have to be a good chef to make duck. You do.
Depends what you're doing.
Scott.
Breast is not difficult.
Scott.
Sir.
Is it difficult for the Outback Steakhouse line chefs that now work at Jay Gilbert's?
Well.
Everything is difficult for them. Everything.
That's a joke, man.
$160. It's A5 Wagyu, motherfucker.
Of course it is.
Yeah. From Jersey, probably. I love it.
Well.
Welcome. Fresh sourdough. It's a bread basket, you dicks. That does not count. And it says, Orrin Swift Sellers Wine Dinner 5-Course Menu.
Of course it's Wagyu beef. We fed our cows grain that was soaked in Kirin beer.
By the way, Scott.
Therefore, it's Wagyu.
$160 per person, but that includes the gratuity.
Okay. Well, that makes it much more affordable.
Yes, and I'm sure that the staff won't be like, where's your tip on top of that?
Yeah, well.
You know.
We tipped on top of ours. At,
did we?
Yeah, we did.
We shouldn't have. Because it was lousy service. Everything about it was done badly.
We tipped at the bar, didn't we?
Yeah, because they didn't. Yeah, and they comped us at the bar because of how bad the rest of it was. So, yes. Welcome. Fresh sourdough.
That's right. He was so embarrassed. He said, oh, you came from the food days.
You are, these gentlemen don't pay for their drinks. That was embarrassing. That's what he said. That was embarrassing. And he was like, he's the wine steward. It's like, if it was embarrassing, motherfucker, why'd you let them do that? Terrible. They lost our business forever because we liked that place. But
I had some great experiences.
And then they went to the ship. Becky and I had two, like, we went there for maybe my birthday one year. It was Outback Steakhouse, man. And so it was so bad. Our waitress then gave us her card. Why she has a card, I don't know. That it's like, you get dessert next time on me.
Thanks.
Next time?
The next time?
What about this time? I mean, oh man, I got dessert. I had a, you know what? I had a 3-course menu. I had a 3-course meal on Sunday at the Clay House in Somerset.
That's
did you know that Somerset is Paris of Perry County, Ohio? It's very much like that.
Of course it is.
It's just like Paris. It's actually a lovely little downtown. It actually shockingly is. It's all brick streets, and they have all sorts of little artisanal little restaurants. There's a new one. I forget what it's called. Supposedly the food there is amazing.
In Somerset.
Not a joke. You need to get over there because you might dig it.
Okay.
It's, and they've actually kind of instituted a little bit of a downtown heritage program where everything has to make a look a certain way and kind of match the kind of the old school version of what the town is.
Who's gonna pay for this?
I don't know, Scott, but the whole downtown was bustling. People were in the restaurants. They have serve alcohol at the Clay House anymore.
Somerset, Ohio is a
very small little town.
Perry
County is a very, very rural.
Very poor county.
Yeah, it
is.
To
be fair. Mm-hmm. And Clay House has, it's probably changed hands
I don't
know, half dozen times in the last 25 years.
But it's been around.
It was dark for a while, too.
It's been around since the beginning of time, though. And it's home style country food. So
like on Sundays, it's a fried chicken meal. And they have other things, and, you know, your sandwiches and shit like that on the side. But the main thing, everybody goes in there and gets fried chicken. So
once upon a time, they would do steaks.
Oh, they probably do on certain nights. But because this is a, those are set Sunday meals. So you have I have it on my phone. You have a you have two-piece breast and wing, whatever, a white or dark meat. And then and the kids got one piece, but theirs was like adults was $15.95, kids were $8 something. And so your sides, let me see if I just have the desserts, but I'll read the desserts because that's pretty good. But two sides with that, so they have like pickled beets, dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy. You know,
one of the pictures you had, it looked like dressing with gravy.
Yeah, that's what we got. And so pasta salad, you know, macaroni salad, you know,
okay,
that kind of stuff. Green beans, you know, your course. Then you had dessert along with that, and the desserts were the pies they had were apple, blueberry, which blueberry pie, cherry, chocolate peanut butter, custard pie, walnut pie. And then German chocolate cake, which my son had. And then peach cobbler, which I had.
I think you ordered wrong. You should have got the custard pie. You got to go with the custard pie. If they order custard, you got to go with custard.
Yeah,
it's a rule of life.
I never not eat peach cobbler. I love a cobbler. And this and by the way, the ice cream, made in-house.
No.
Yeah.
No. Don't believe it.
It was.
I'm not buying it.
It was canned peaches, but that's often what you might see. But yeah. It was almost like a creme brulee. But it was really, really good. It was during my son's basketball tournament. But you could get like noodles to share for the table. We didn't do that, but it was fatty 2x4. But still.
Nah, noodles. It's noodles.
Well, yeah, they're the big, thick, home-style noodles.
Yeah, what's worth the price of admission.
Oh, I know.
Even if it's bad for you.
It's very bad for you, but
sure the fried chicken's good for you, too.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Waddled out of there.
Delicious.
It was delicious.
I found a new cheat.
A cheat?
Yeah. You have wine. It stains things.
I thought you meant if you use your left hand, it feels like somebody else.
No, you're cheating on your right. That's for sure.
Well, you know.
No, a cheat.
We have an open relationship.
Oh, but you do.
Yes, we do. He goes off, my right goes off and gives hand jobs to other people.
The epitome of the left hand doesn't know what the right's doing.
That's true. Well, sometimes they're doing it at the same time to different people.
Jesus.
Hey, you gotta diversify. Maximize your profits.
Profits?
If only someone would pay me.
Well.
You owe me like $300, Scott. And mind you, I only charge $4, so do the math, folks.
Well, yeah, I see. I would pay if you would keep walking away and staying the fuck away from me.
No.
But you keep coming back, so you're not getting paid.
The services were rendered, so, you know.
No, you never left. No, you have to leave to get paid for leaving.
No.
If you're paid to leave and get the fuck out, you got to get the fuck out.
Well, Wilfred. Scott, I'll go once the job's done, but when you hire me to do a job, I aim to do it.
Of course,
and
Wilfred,
I aim to please.
Your job's never done.
Oh, see, there you go, folks. The bill keeps going higher because he keeps demanding more and more of my time. If you get my drift,
Wilfred, nobody wants your time.
Back
to my cheat.
Okay.
Red wine,
uh-huh.
Coffee. They stain some shit.
Yeah.
Whether it's a decanter or you're a coffee maker. Just a quick cheat. OxyClean.
Yeah, okay.
We had a decanter. Granted, it's a cheap one. It's plastic. I'm sorry, I've got a plastic decanter. I'm sorry. It's the one I use, the wide base one.
Yeah, but like that one was $20.
That's what that one was.
But you could buy it for glass for $20.
No, you can't. The glass one like that. It's much more expensive. It's that 12-inch base. It's the wide one.
Okay, they sell one at Kroger's just like that, and it's $14.99.
No, it's not.
I'll take a picture of it tomorrow.
Then buy one for me.
I'm not buying you shit.
God damn it.
Buy it your own goddamn self.
Anyway, okay. The decanter could never get it clean. I have the little beads to try and clean it.
What kind of beads?
Those beads.
Oh! On a string?
No.
Oh, well, then how do they get lost?
Can you swirl around?
Well, that's a motion. That's nice.
If it comes out of the hole, you're going
to
lose it.
Yeah, I know. They just pop out of like ping pong balls. Have you ever been to Thailand, Scott? That reminds me. It's fantastic.
Back
you can get
to the
a
cleaning.
Lobster dinner for $3. And then afterwards, you have, well, you have a lot of diseases, but still, you can go to a show where this lady is very experienced in ping pong. Would you like to? No.
Wasn't that Tijuana?
They do that at Tijuana, too. Yes, okay. Yes.
No, the OxyClean.
Did you go to the Tijuana show? Apparently, Scott knows the Tijuana show.
It works great. And also for your coffee decanter.
Okay.
Soak it twice in the OxyClean water. Boom. You're set.
You can also use vinegar.
OxyClean works better.
I know. Vinegar is a little more mild.
Vinegar doesn't cut it. But the OxyClean is great. It rinses out great. I don't think I'd want to drink OxyClean water. That might damage my stomach a little bit. But cleans your glassware up. You have some tough-to-clean glass, wine glasses. Hit it with the OxyClean. You'd be happy.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on the Wine Boat. And we're back, folks. So,
what a good glass of wine.
It is. Also, there's some other people that want to wish Scott a happy birthday.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's a Pinot Fast guy. I want to offer you a happy birthday. You are 122 years old. You're 4 years younger than me. And my Scooby-Doo son.
It's been a long time, Pinot Fast.
Yeah, he has a melted face. But Triple B doesn't want me because he's offended by my voice. And I said, like, I'm just a Pinot Fast.
Did you ever sell your website?
I did not. I did not. Did you know, though? I also, so Pornhub, you can find me on there. You look up Pinophile, and then if you look it up on the website, you go to websites that are dark, and then you will find me on there. I will post things that you cannot see. And that's my, and a Pinophile, happy birthday, Scott.
A Pinophile, folks.
That's true. And a Southern man, Scott. Scott, last week we talked about Hanna-Barbera and Yogi Bear. And by the way, happy birthday. You had told me about Boo Boo Bear. Is that what it was?
Boo Boo Bear.
Boo Boo Bear.
Boo Boo Bear.
Well, I just like to, well, I like to reiterate.
That's easy for you to say.
I'm illiterate, Scott. I listened to the show as a Southern man, and I realized I sounded like a porn, I sounded like a pervert that I had sexual feelings about a cartoon character bear. And I would just like to set the record straight. I do not have sexual feelings about a cartoon character bear. My pastor told me to say that on the show.
It's good for him. It's good for him.
Now I feel like I have been absolved of my sins. Hallelujah.
Are you still a pervert?
Yes.
Didn't work then.
That bear game.
It didn't take.
That bear made me hot and bothered. But the Lord will provide and take those feelings out of my soul. My pastor told me a story about one of his great victories. Curing Mike Pence of his demons.
Really?
Apparently.
What were Mike Pence's demons?
He liked men.
No.
Allegedly, I've been told.
You know, he doesn't. That's not part of his testimony.
Well, in fact, he was told to drink this wine. It was called Grifone.
Grifone?
Grifone. Yes, he drank that.
You know, I think you can get that at the Trader Joe's.
It was kind of like whipping yourself with your own belt. You take it off your pants and you beat yourself to death with it. That's why you would drink Grifone.
That's not what that's called.
Yes, it was Grifone.
Did Mr. Pence care for their website?
Which Grifone?
Well, Grifone's website? No,
he said there wasn't enough young men that weren't wearing shirts on there.
Well, there were. Apparently, he wasn't on the right website.
And he had to go drink again. I don't know where he was. I don't. I never spoke to Mr. Pence.
Oh, this was just research on your
part. I'm not allowed to. Well, part of my pastor said he doesn't want us to get together and
again
commiserate.
He doesn't want you to get together with Mr. Pence again.
First of all,
Mr. Pence is fine. He is not a Hanna-Barbera bear cartoon. I'm sure you find him attractive. I do not. I find that bear attractive.
Well, what do you mean by he's fine?
No, I'm okay. He's perfectly a normal person. But I like... Wait a second. I'm going against what the pastor told me.
He are.
Yes. I did not find that bear sexually attractive. It was the tie that got me. I don't know why.
Oh.
I know. It's teasing.
It was Yogi that wore the tie.
Yes, I don't... Yes, it was an older bear. It was a bear that
I thought
was,
you liked the younger bear.
No!
Southern man, we all know you like the younger bears.
No, I would not divulge... No, the pastor said if I did that I was beyond saving. I don't believe that. So.
Or did the pastor just want to keep them for himself?
I never thought of that, Scott. You mean the pastor is a sinner like me?
Yeah.
Well, hallelujah, then. I've been saved.
No, you're not. No. You're a lot of things, Southern man. I'm
running out of material. So anyway, so the wine. Scott's the script ran out. I don't know why. Scott, why do you wrote like 6 pages for this? When do you have time to do this? It's ridiculous. It's a good script, but
off the top of my head.
Yeah, I know. So
Southern man better.
Leonard Skinner wouldn't like that.
Leonard Skinner.
Yeah, they'd say Neil Young don't need him around anyhow.
Yeah, well.
They showed him.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Plane crash and all.
Yeah, I know. Neil's still kicking. So.
Yeah, well, kind of, sort of.
What is your favorite Neil Young song?
I haven't listened to his stuff in a long time.
Mine is Everybody
Down
Knows
by the
That's
river.
Down by the River's good. Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere.
Yeah.
Cinnamon Girl. Yeah. Rocking in the Free World.
I think I might go Cinnamon Girl. I think Cinnamon Girl. There's just a certain the high harmony part of it.
I wanna live with a cinnamon girl. I can be happy for the rest of my life with a cinnamon girl.
And then the hard guitar at the bottom.
Da da da. But yeah. Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere has kind of a whimsical quote. But Old Man is also good.
Yeah. Oh,
Old Man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
Yeah, and that the harmony in that's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. A lot of great songs, by
the way. You have to like Southern Rock, but it's also, it's a different vocal style, and it's not for everybody.
I mean, he's not a great singer, is what you're being.
Well.
He's better than Bob Dylan, but singer-wise.
But he writes really good parts that.
Oh yeah,
he does. He's a good singer. He's just not got a great voice.
It's adequate for what he's doing. It works for what he's doing. Yeah,
yeah. He does this raw falsetto thing.
Yes, he does.
Kind of cigarette laced.
Yeah, I would think it does.
You right?
Yeah.
Maybe left handed cigarette, but no, his voice is worn.
Mm-hmm. Not like Bob Dylan. I can't even.
I
do
tell
Bob
you.
Dylan.
I think he was on 3 times on Saturday Night Live. The Neil Young performances on Saturday Night Live are great.
See, I'm not a huge Neil Young guy. Well, I like his stuff, but I wish I would have seen him in concert. I don't think he plays anymore. But
back in the day, right?
I don't think he does. But so,
well, you know, roll him out on a wheelchair.
I think he's still in decent enough shape. He's not like Eric Clapton. He's lost his fucking mind. Oh, he always was a racist. But, you know, what did he give?
Columbus, Ohio Proud, Eric Clapton.
He gave Dwayne Altman, that was the lead guitarist of the Altman Brothers, who died in a motorcycle accident, a belt in which to keep his heroin. Eric Clapton was always a drug addict. No, obviously he kicked that, but he's still a racist, vile person.
Yeah.
He can play, though. So
Columbus Proud.
He's with Beverly D'Angelo. No, not Beverly D'Angelo.
No, he met
Al Pacino.
I don't know about that.
No, they've always been together. Al Pacino, Beverly D'Angelo. Mm. Look it up.
Mm.
But yes, Eric Clapton, some personal.
He married a young lady who's from Columbus, Ohio. Met her in German Village at the old laundromat. There's the story.
Why was he at the old laundromat?
So he liked that country recording studio on High Street, so he'd like to be here and play and then go over there and record. And
mm-hmm.
met a person and they became life partners, and he quietly lived here for a long time, staying out of the limelight. And, yeah.
Well, his best work was when Dwayne Allman was playing the guitar with him. So
Allman? Allman?
Yeah, Dwayne Allman.
O.T.
That's, it's Altman, but it's pronounced Allman.
There's no T.
It's very soft. It's a soft T.
You're soft. You know everything about soft.
That's right. My dad. Oh, never mind. Go. So, Scott, the Le Petit Lafitte, which is a clever name, by the way.
It's a wonderful drink.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about this for me, it doesn't present as this 9-year-old wine.
No, it doesn't. No.
There's just a sense of, and I think it's that streak of acidity about it. I don't know.
And by the way, it's showing a lot more now.
It just.
I wish I had 6 more bottles of this to drink right now.
Oh, shit, right?
It's like the blackberry is exposing a little bit more. Honestly, folks, if you can find some of this, buy it, set it back.
You got to set it back, I think. Yep. I mean, I wouldn't drink it now. This is 9 years old and is so expressive. But
I'll be down at the beach, I'm sure, sometime this year. And I'm going to go into it. Because I bought this at a Total Wine.
That's crazy.
Somewhere on the beach. Wine. Yeah, somewhere on the beach. And
now, when you bought it, what was the current vintage? Was it like 3 or 4 years old?
No, I don't. This has been, I've had this for.
This is a 14, folks.
I've had this for probably 3 years, 4 years.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know if it was the current vintage, but it was pretty damn close.
So it was 4 years. So you bought it maybe in 2018.
Yeah, 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, 2018, 2017, one of those years.
In theory, they're holding this back a couple years before it's our marketplace.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the way to do it, but hold on to it for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Give it 5 to 7 years.
I have to go 92 of my points. 92 points. I really enjoy this. And like I said, it drinks of a really fresh Bordeaux style. I love the streak of acidity in it. I think the one thing that's backed off a little bit as we've done the episode, some of the mineralities dissipated out of it a little bit for me. But that was the first thing that hit my palate was minerality, and then that acidity that just runs all the way through it. I love the expression of fruit. A little more fruit presence than you'd expect from a Bordeaux, but yep. It's okay. It's not over the top. Earthy, tannic backbone. Love it. You know this is elite.
You know, this is what I'll say about this wine. I wish I would have decanted this like 2 hours before we drank it, because then we would have just died. Initially, I was, when first sip, first few sips, I'm thinking, well, 88, 87. But as we went through that very, very lengthy potpourri where I was going through Scott's script about Wilford, what he was saying, and shit like that, this wine snuck in and turned into just a dynamite drink. The front palate has exposed fruit. The fruit is there now. And the mid palate is heady. And it still has the minerality, but it's not what you're focusing on as much, because the rest of the wine is so, so good. I never would have thought it would have been here at this point, but I'm going to agree with Scott's 92. And it was the last few sips that I had that really, really stoked that. And part of it is, it's because of the ageability. The wine does have more ageability. It could go longer. Now it's showing that fruit. Just like these great Bordeaux that we've had, this isn't like that. But
this isn't quite like that.
No, no, no. This is a few points short. But it shows that with another, I would say, 2, 3, 4 more years, that might be the main show. It just revealed the show with extra decanting. It's a really great wine, and if you can find the second label, you need to buy it. And quite frankly, I would buy the other one too.
In the 30s?
Oh yeah.
Really? Of course.
Oh good God, you buy 4 or 5.
So
that's what I'm going to do.
Kind of sort of the one way we differ. I was in the 90s from the get-go.
Really?
I just, yeah. It just showed so much. It was a little different Bordeaux style.
Yeah, I liked it. But
I liked it. But, you know, the earthiness, the acidity, the nice expression of minerality. Those are just right in my wheelhouse. And the one thing you knew all the way through, it's just quality. It's just a great.
Oh yeah,
grape.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's just a tremendous wine.
I expected this to be more persnickety and not as well. I think the other thing that we've forgotten to discuss here as we're doing the review, the mouthfeel.
The mouthfeel. Well, I had said before that it's just stunningly good.
The mouthfeel is not of a second label wine.
No, it's not. And
you might pay $100 for a bottle of whatever French variety, whether it's Bordeaux or whatever.
Yeah.
And not get the mouthfeel that this has.
No disagreement whatsoever.
And it's not out of place. This isn't a silky mouthfeel like you're drinking some California over the top red that's got, oh, it's got a great mouthfeel. No, this is a proper Bordeaux mouthfeel that you'd expect from a much more expensive and much more elite bottle of wine.
It really does. It just, I mean, the thing is, the DNA of a special classic wine is there. It's just a little bit young from the vine standpoint. But you taste all the elite areas of what this wine will be. And quite frankly, you buy this, you're sneaking some Smithfield Lafitte in the cellar. Because you know, that's the big dog. That's the wine that has everything. But this wine is pretty fucking good.
I'm so glad that I recognized this early in the glass. And I was able to bring you along and drag you up to speed, and that you finally realized it in the end after you listened to my review and understood what it really was about. So good for you to figure it out with a little help from your friend, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for your growth, and you're really coming along.
I'm glad I can give you that kind of self-satisfaction. On your 190th birthday, even if it's false.
Self-satisfaction.
Scott, how many decades are you now?
No. Same decade as last year. I haven't hit that new number.
1792?
I haven't hit that new number yet.
Oh, man, you're old.
I am old. OG, baby.
No, you're not. But
oh, no, no. I'm definitely OG.
I'm only 33.
Old enough to not get 33. What? That's how many your children's life age add up to 33?
I used to be 33. Of course. I was so young and vibrant and beautiful once.
You were never young and vibrant.
I was.
You're young, but not vibrant.
My youth has left me.
Yes, it has.
I'm halfway to 50.
You're halfway to 50?
I'm 45. I'll be 46 this year.
That's not halfway to 50, dumbass. That's 4 years from being 50.
In the 40s. I'm
halfway to 50 is 25.
I know, but you know what
No, you
I mean.
Don't understand the maths really very well.
Well, Scott, I'm taking 10-year segments of my life. So the 40s. This is the 40s.
And okay, so let's clarify for the listeners. In halfway segments of his life, he's halfway to 50.
I'm having an emotional moment, you dick. So
there are tears in his eyes.
I know. The 30s.
It's because he realized he never learned the maths.
The 30s have left me. They're gone.
They've been gone by for a long time.
I know. And now I'm in the 40s. And so, but now I think you're a lot older when you're a higher 40s than your younger 40s. It's very sad. I'm very sad. I'll be 50 before. I never thought I'd be 50. And I'll be 50 in 4 years, man.
You know what's going
to
be.
And then I'll be like you in like another 30 years. And it's just sad to me.
No, you listen.
I'm crying.
You're already like me. Your life has left you.
People will be sticking their hands up my ass to check shit, and it won't be fun anymore.
Your children already do that to you.
Well, you know.
No, 10 years down the road.
Well, it's fun for Steve, I guess.
He likes to tap on the shoulder first.
Well, kiss
on
the
your
ear.
Your kids don't do that because they don't want to warn you.
The lick on the earlobe. That's unprofessional for a doctor, I think.
That nun, Steve Eyes.
Well, I know, but Steve, that's, I don't know if he's a doctor.
For Steve.
Doctors don't come in and rip the tie off and strip. He's doing that in the G-string when Steve has that done.
It's more of a bow tie, but yeah, well, semantics.
Well, he's also wearing a G-string.
In 10 years, when you're
32.
Incompetent and not capable of defending yourself.
Like you?
And your daughter's going to be torturing you.
That's why I have sons
for. So joyous.
We had a major problem with Lucas today, our 4-year-old dickhead. And so what did I do? I tasked Henry with discussing the matter with Luke. Because if I did it, Luke would die. And so I told Henry, this is Luke's one chance to atone for his sins and realize that he's a shithead. Otherwise, I have to talk to him. You know what Henry goes? I understand what you mean. I'll take care of it. And so it was the main thing. Luke threw a fit because he wouldn't get on the school bus today in the driveway when the bus was there. And Becky was out there and she FaceTimes me and she's very emotional. I couldn't do anything right at the moment. I wanted to reach to the phone and kill him.
You were at work.
Yes, I was at work. If I could have, I would have physically punted him to the bus, but he wouldn't go. And she's just had surgery. She can't like impose her will. That's not really her style anyway. That's my style. So he swung even at her, his coat at her, which was not a good thing. And so the bus leaves and my mother takes him to school, mind you. And so Henry goes in and he's like, Luke, come upstairs with me. No, I won't go. Yes, you will go, Luke. Stand up. And Luke was acting like he had a limp body and was collapsing to the ground. And Henry goes, Luke, either you walk in there or I drag you in there. One of the two. And Henry wanted to take him upstairs. I said, just take him in the bedroom, lock the door. I said, Luke, if you don't go in with Henry, you go in with me. So he went in with Henry. And so, you know, Henry came up. We had a talk. And he told me that he wanted mom to take him to school today. I went, I know that's what he wanted, stupid. I wanted you to talk to him about it. So I told William the situation. And William goes, that's really bad. I'm going to talk to him about that. And so I hear, Lukey, you can't behave that way. That's ridiculous. That's terrible. Because they went out to take out the garbage, William and Henry. So William and Henry are walking outside and William looks at Henry and goes, what did Lukey do today? Tell me. So he told him on the way out. He goes, he did what? So William roughed up Lukey. So hopefully.
Roughed him up.
Yeah.
He gave him the business.
He was not happy. Two boys not happy with the child. So.
Well, it's interesting that the response, I think most of the response was because Becky was upset, right? Because why would they give a shit whether he got on the bus or not?
It's because it's the rules.
William's a big believer in rules.
William, Henry is too?
No, Henry is.
It's about being, William, it's also about being dignified. So
dignified?
You don't do that. You don't, throw a fit in front of the bus. It's not dignified, man.
Okay, the fit part I get. But wouldn't think William was a big one on dignity.
Well, he's developed it. You know, his version of dignity.
There's the underlying.
He told us today he wanted to be woke up at no later than 7 a.m.
Okay.
Hardy har har, so he can properly prepare for the day, and then be served breakfast.
He wants to be served breakfast.
And I was the whole time like, fuck you. I was like, I'm going to fucking serve you breakfast.
But this is what he announced. Sucker.
He's like, by the way.
Get ready for.
Dad, you need to improve on the lunches that you make for me. Fuck you. That's me.
No, wait. William actually said this?
Yes. All the time.
You need to improve on the lunches.
And the heart, in my heart, I'm like, fuck you.
And so, to our listeners.
Fucker, son of a. I don't like.
Rob takes great pride in fixing things that the kids like, and well, you might have some special dietary needs, and Rob takes great pride in still giving him things he likes but are going to be healthy for him. And William says to him, you need to improve the quality of my lunches. That's fucking hysterical, dude. I'm sorry.
I made dinner, and he goes, that's nice. I ate some. I didn't like it very much. I prefer if you made me a grilled cheese. You know what I said? Fuck you! I didn't do that. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu.
Pair of 92s.
but see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.